Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and looking forward to spending this time with you. We don't talk about when we're doing the shows because we have so many replays, and a lot of our group with the agents and brokers listen to the everything at different times. Many of our audience always listens to downloads, et cetera. But lately, with COVID going on, which is dragging on quite longer than any of us ever knew this would happen, is we're just going to talk today, and it's actually August 2020. And today we are going to talk about landlord and tenant problems. Now, we looked up, we'll have guest one, and I always like to have one guest at a time for our 1 hour because it goes by so fast. Sometimes we'll have a group on, but typically one at a time. There are so many landlord-tenant problems going on right now in the U.S., all over the world, actually, especially in the U.K., too. But in the U.S., they've halted, they had eviction moratorium starting in March of 2020. They are just starting to get lifted. So can you imagine all the problems that have gone on? And there's so many stories that we look to have different landlords on, which we will do at different times or maybe on different segments with some other audio that we do. But today I just wanted to get on and talk about it myself and mention different stories because it's rampant. And, well, I'm not even going to take a break. I'm not going to do any breaks, but the COVID-19 is very serious. This is a real, a bad virus, and they're learning more about it. We, unfortunately, are having to hear story after story after story of different social networking stories and different takes on everything. We're hearing the political jargon. We're hearing the taboos. We're hearing the false news. It's become so overwhelming that many of us, and me, for example, I don't want to watch the news more than like maybe 15 minutes a day, and I'm hearing that echoed over and over and over everywhere. The anxiety is through the roof with skepticism, lack of monies, stress, just so many things are not the normal that we're used to as normal. And I've been hit with things firsthand as well regarding the landlord-tenant issues. And I'm like, I want to talk about it today. I really want to talk about it because you hear stories where tenants are complaining about their landlords. And in this situation, this time period, when they're putting moratoriums on evictions, who's paying the landlords? How are they paying their mortgages? How are they paying the bills? There's many rentals where the landlord pays the water and utilities, and under the COVID moratorium, landlords haven't been allowed to turn it off. So unfortunately, there's always the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there are so many scammers. I've never seen as many scammers out as there are now. And it's unfortunate because the scammers always make it bad for the good people, So it's really scary. So I want to talk about today. We're going to talk about some horror stories that that happen over the years to landlords when you own properties, and this happens and that happens, and you have to be really, really careful and really vet the people. But lately with the COVID-19, it's very, very serious, but too many people are using it as an excuse. And it's the landlords versus the tenants, and it shouldn't be that way. There's many tenants, of course, that are paying their bills and moving on, and things are fine. But there's a lot of people that are using COVID as an example, as an excuse, that are bringing in monies or getting unemployment, getting other monies, and they're not wanting to pay their rent and haven't been paying the rent. So it's really concerning, because the government in each area, not just the federal government, but the local governments, are going to need to put in or put out some monies and funds to help the landlords, because when the evictions come due and there's months and months and months of payments due, if the tenants do not have the money, the tenants will still be liable for the money, but if they don't have the money, how are the landlords going to pay their mortgages as well? I've heard many say, well, the government said you can do forbearances for up to 12 months. It's not fair that all these landlords are going to lose their properties and ruin their credit and everything for situations that could have been paid. And I kind of have a beef with the courts shutting down the way they did, because the courts can vet these cases. The courts can vet it and see if somebody's really serious or if they're a scammer. And so I just wanted to put this out there, because we can all work together. We really need to all work together, because this COVID isn't going away anytime soon. We have an election coming up in November, which is extremely important to vote. And so that's why I want to talk about the landlord-tenant stories right now, because I'm not picking sides, but I've been a landlord. I literally got scammed through this COVID situation, and I'm thinking, I've been in the business 35 years. We do sales, not rentals. Property management, we turn over, so we can help people with it, but we always refer them to somebody good. But I have done it on my own, and I got scammed this time around. I had somebody, I'm not naming names, so we're going to be in court situations. It's a really not a nice situation, that totally pulled the wool over my eyes. I didn't meet them at the end of March, and there was one lie after another, and I fell for it. And so I'm like, if I can fall for it, and I know better with these situations, my heart goes out for how many other people could fall for it just trying to help somebody out. I was reading a story about a gentleman who tried to help somebody out last January, right before COVID, before the COVID shutdowns in March, and the woman was homeless, and she has, I'm not naming names in any of this, that's why I decided to just do it this way today, so we can talk about different stories, but not just have one person talk in general about their story and name names, etc. He wanted to help this woman. She's homeless, but she had disability, so he said she made enough money, or enough money came in that she could pay the rent. So he said he was going to help her out, and he did. Next thing you know, she stopped paying the rent. She started complaining about mold in the property. He said the bathroom needed the fan on, or it would get wet and get small amounts of mold. Nobody wants mold in the house, but it was fixed, and she wouldn't stop. She wouldn't keep turning the fan on. She complained, hasn't been paying. Here it is, the summer of 2020, and hasn't paid, and he hasn't been able to get her out yet, the evictions. My situation, I was told, I have a vacation rental outside of Ocean City, and I was told that their place that they had available wasn't ready, that somebody was in it because of COVID. It wasn't ready. They'd already put up their rent and their security deposit, and that I won't name names and that the ages of or anything, but they're all adults, and they just needed a place to stay for a month to 2 months to be able to find something else. And I broke down and said, oh, gosh, I'll do that for you as long as you're out by the end of May. And because I vacation rental and already had people booked last year, depending on what would happen, which everything opened up, all the people had to be rebooked, losing a ton of money. And that property costs me money every month. So it's not like on top of all that I'm losing, it's been a loss. And given the scenario, the people totally used COVID. They were putting vacations on their Facebook all over the place. They didn't have COVID. They used one lie after another. I'm mentioning this because it's become rampant. This isn't like the normal. This isn't where, you know, we're going to talk about some cases that we've heard over the years, and here and there it happens, but this has been rampant. And I think we all need to work together for tenants to understand going through this. Even if you can pay your rent, pay your rent. Don't take it as, well, they're not going to evict me, so this is time for me to just, I don't have to pay it and I'm fine. That's not the case. So this has been a domino effect, hurting everybody in so many different ways. And then what happens when we all get too stressed out, we react in ways we may not want to. So you're hearing horror stories where people, landlords, are going ahead and shutting the utilities off, which they can get in trouble. Landlords are taking doors off, windows off. You know, they're making the landlords out to sound terrible, but they're not telling the other side of the story what's happening. You know, I didn't, in my situation, it's cost me a lot of money all the way around, and it's a nightmare. And the people could care less. Scammed more and making up one lie after another. I'm not sure how anybody can do that. I could never in my life do it in a million years to anybody. And this is where we all need to work together, because I'm hearing stories of people, even that landlords said they were paying, and then the COVID came and they just stopped. And this domino effect is going to hurt everybody by next year. We're going to have houses, and I think with the moratoriums and then with the forbearances with mortgages, I think next year, if the sellers, landlords, owners of the properties do not have the money to pay back the mortgages, they're going to lose the properties. Now, hopefully a lot of mortgage lenders will work out loss mitigation cases, will work out some of the payments and put it on the back end of the mortgage, but that's not what we're hearing is definitely going to happen. Credits are being ruined. I mean, there's no reason for all of this to be happening the way it's happening, because the government is putting out money for the unemployment, has put money out. And, again, I'm in the real estate business, so I get to – we have our membership association, so I get to hear stories all around the country and in other areas besides what we hear on the news. And it's heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking to me when I think, okay, we need to help each other. Do you need anything? Can you, you know, because landlords, everybody, tenants, everybody, if they work together, they can make it work. And when I bring this up today, we only have our short period of time. We're on for less than an hour. I am not pointing the finger. There's many good people out there, and there's many people still paying their rent, and there's many landlords, and they're not having a problem. But right now, because of COVID and because of this moratoriums, it's been rampant. And it's been unacceptable, and the games being played, and the lies are just pathetic. And it's horrible for the landlords, because the courts will vet a lot of this stuff, and there will be a lot of judgments, but many of the people will skip and leave and not have any money, and our landlords are holding the bag. It's just totally wrong where people can work their whole lives and then lose it all because of something like this with a moratorium. I don't understand. I know I've talked to one of the attorneys who was like, Natalie, this COVID has been so bad. Nobody knows how to deal with it. Courts have been closed. We didn't know what to do. I mean, I really believe that the courts could have stayed open more than they did. You know, you heard domestic violent cases, criminal cases were being heard over Zoom or other audios, videos. I think could have been handled better. I'm not putting the blame on anybody at all, because we've never been through this in our lifetime. And it's been a nightmare, but I think I just want to put this out there so that every, you know, you can, we all need to work together and help each other and stop, you know, and the stories and the unbelievable. I mean, people can get private detectives. They can check logs. There's so many background checks. There's so many trace tracker things you can see. So I'm going to say I would never, ever again, no matter what the situation is, you definitely want to run credit reports on the people. You definitely want to get references, good references. You want to see where they were living before, if their lease isn't up. A lot of people coming out now, they're saying they don't have, you know, they're just coming in the towns and places that they said they didn't have anything. But this is very serious, and it's, a lot of people just don't care, and that's just not acceptable. You know, it's really, really serious. But this excuse that's happening with COVID is very frustrating to me. So I'm just putting it out there. Some people will be listening to this and had never had to go through this, and may not understand this at all and may not agree with this. Maybe somebody had a horror story. And there was another story of a couple who pays their son's college tuition from the money up in the Hamptons that they make on their vacation rental in season. Anybody familiar with the Northeast knows that the states, except for Florida, of course, Florida, you have the snowbirds go down in the winter, and the summer's really hot. But on the Northeast, you have many properties that they're getting the vacation rental, the top dollar, from May to September, because that's when the spring and summer comes in and fall, and that's when the weather's good. There was a couple that in the Hamptons. Gentlemen came in, made plenty of money, paid $3,700 a month for their winter rate, and drove a Land Rover, was a broker. It didn't say what type of broker he was, whether it was mortgage, real estate, stock, it didn't say. But he decided to stick around and not pay anymore. Why? Why do this to anybody? It's just totally unacceptable. And so my thing is, I want to say, okay, what's your excuse? ! COVID. And COVID's serious. This is nothing, I'm not joking. We're not joking about COVID. COVID is serious. We have to protect people. The government's doing a great job on trying to do what they can do. But there's so much more that's gone in to this than it should be. So if you're a landlord and you're listening to this, it's important that you go ahead and you file your evictions and get things going. The tenants, there's a lot of programs in a lot of states to help the tenants right now for funding and monies, Catholic Charities, local ones, governments. There's different programs depending on the type of property that you're in that it's helping with rents. I do hope that they actually help the landlords with the monies too, the monies they're losing and are going to lose and have already lost since March. I've heard in some areas with certain type of government loans and government projects, there is some money for landlords, but not enough. Hopefully that grows and that area is going to really be touched on to make people whole, because it's just unfair to work so hard and be so responsible and always pay, and then all of a sudden somebody else can go in and destroy and do all this to your property and leave and not care. Now, again, I am not at all saying this to anybody that's responsible. I'm not saying it to anybody that pays their rent. Any of the landlords are doing it by the book. I'm talking about with COVID-19, this has become rampant and it's been used as an excuse. Let's work together. You know, we've got the Black Lives Matter going on, the rioting going on, the election. It's gotten, I don't even want to watch the news half the time. I was really shocked that Oprah Winfrey's platform is huge. The woman's been amazing. She's done such beautiful work in this world, helping with schools and kids in Africa and education, and she's been amazing. I can't believe that in her position, she's doing what she's doing. She's actually, going out there and stirring up more animosity, which to me is absolutely shocking, especially in her venue, in her life, in what she's able to do, and knowing that the power that she has to influence many. I'm surprised that she's not being more gentle, that she is not trying to create unity, because we need unity right now. We do not need all of this fear and animosity and hate. I want to touch over on the Black Lives Matter. I have so many friends who are Afro-American. I am not prejudiced in any way, shape, or form, and never have been and never will be. So many things are being taken out of context. We can't erase history, because if we erase history, we're going to forget history and we'll repeat history. You don't want to forget. You want to remember so you don't repeat it. But there's so many things are getting twisted all around, and innocent people are getting hurt. I was talking to a girl, 19 years old, at the gym a couple weeks ago that works at the gym, who's scared to death to go to the gas station. She's white, and she's afraid she could get shot because they're posting around there, kill whiteys, and on the Facebook and in other areas. She's down to 110 pounds, normally 125. Her parents have COPD, so she's afraid she's going to bring the COVID home, but she's working. She's not just getting unemployment, she's working. And there's nothing against getting unemployment. I'm just saying she's been working this whole time. But she's a nervous wreck. And what did she do? How does she deserve this? She doesn't deserve this. This has gotten so out of hand. A good friend of mine's son is a police officer, and a couple weeks ago he got shot at. And then somebody else pulled a gun on him, and he was not allowed to use the normal protocol with a taser, with a stick, the normal protocol, because of all these rules being pulled back because of this craziness going on around our country. And so today we're mainly talking about the landlords versus tenants, but it's all tying in together, and we can make a difference. We individually can make a difference. As far as properties go right now, we've always in the real estate industry. Get investments, get rental properties, have that rate of return, you know, keep going on and on and on and on. It's not a pretty situation for rentals right now in the U.S. You know, different countries are handling things differently, but it isn't a pretty situation. It's so important, no matter what story someone gives you, to vet them and run their credit, do background reports, even a background check, you know, legally, whatever you can do, everything. Don't let them talk you into something and being scammed. I was scammed, and I'm telling you, I'm not the type of person to be scammed, but it was the end of March. My heart, I got scammed on the phone within 20 minutes. I didn't meet the people. I believe the stories, which I won't go into all the details right now here because of I'm not naming names and because of what's, you know, suits are going on. And I'm not going to step down from this because I don't want these people who've had a history of doing it to other people to do this to someone else. But in 20 minutes, I was scammed, and I'm not one to normally get scammed. So I say, okay, if it happened to me, it can happen to anybody. And I want to see you protected. And you just going to have to, you know, don't take the chance. Now, there's many situations. I've talked to different attorneys. I've seen it in the past myself on rentals where people are wonderful for months, and then all of a sudden they aren't. So you can never know 100%, but you can still, you need to vet them. And right now with the COVID-19, God forbid we could get shut down again, and the moratoriums are extended a little bit, but for the most part, many courts have opened up now. We're in August. Courts are opening up by September. Some have already opened up. One other thing I want to mention is check with your attorney or check with the rental court. There's a lot of, in each state, you'll have advocacy offices where you can actually get information but without having to pay the attorneys, where they're usually attorneys on staff giving the general public information. Find out if you have a regular rental lease and have to go through rental court, or find out if your lease had ended and it was a holdover. You can, you know, file that sooner and get the people out before having to take as long as if they still have their lease in force, and getting extensions. So you really want to know what you're up against because this stuff takes time. And, I mean, if you don't owe anything on your house, and, you know, but most people do have mortgages. There's also, even if you don't have the mortgage, you've got the water and the utilities and taxes and insurance. And that's another thing, to make sure your insurance policies, if you have rentals, I'd pull them all out now, whatever rentals you have. Make sure you have replacement costs on everything. Make sure you have vandalism, loss of rent, because most of the policies are not going to cover this loss of rent when with the monies that the tenants are going to owe you. Most of that's not going to be covered. Vandalism should be. You also want to add theft, because lots of times that's not covered on certain items. You know, and a lot of the rental leases will state that the tenant should have insurance, and many aren't getting the insurance. You want to make sure you get that as soon as they move in, or before you let them move in. So there's safeguards that you can put in place before they take possession. I need a copy of your rental insurance policy. You know, I need credit reports, background checks, references. All of that should be done before they get the keys and you've been paid before they can move in. I had a situation years ago on a property I owned in Maryland in Sagamore Forest, and I was already in Hawaii at the time. And one of our agents way back then was helping with it, and the gentleman and his wife and three children came in. There was supposed to be like a $5,000 certified check being sent, which wasn't received. The gentleman said that, and there had been pets in the house prior to, but it was clean. He said he had an allergy with pets, and could he please go in the Saturday before move-in date and have a company come in and clean all the ductwork? It sounds pretty logical, right? And the agent let him in, and they never left, and they didn't pay a penny. Took, you know, so many months to go through court, and the judgment was gotten, no money ever received. And so that's, you know, it's just, you want to be a nice guy, you want to trust people, just don't take any chances. It's not worth it. They're never, ever, ever, now hear me out, never going to come back and say, I'm sorry, unless they're trying to make up something in front of the judge. Trust me, they're not. They're not going to come back and care about paying you. You know, so we want to be so nice, but we have to cover ourselves. And unfortunately, it really does hurt it for the good people, but you really want to do this. So I'm just sharing different stories because right now it's rampant. Typically, when we're not in COVID-19, and it depends on what state you're in because different states have different laws, and some states it can take quite a long time to get your property back. So you don't want to waste any time. Some states it's quick, and it could be within a month you're going to get your property back. But with COVID, with the moratorium, that has not been the case. They put the moratorium in March. Here we are in August, and many people still don't have their properties back. You're talking 5-6 months later, right? That's a lot of money owed. Not to mention what damage is being done, et cetera. So, So I'm just, that's what we're going through these and getting, I'm going to go over some stories. This is from the Simple Dollar, 8 landlord horror stories. Well, I think I'll do about 7 here. We won't have time for all 8. That will dash your dream of owning rental properties. Now, I'm a believer in invest your monies and own rental properties, but it depends on your age, too, because once you get to retirement age, many people do not want to deal with the headaches. Maybe you want to put your money into a REIT, R-E-I-T, and you can talk to your accountant about that or your stockbroker, and that's another way to earn money, and it's real estate related, but you're not managing the properties yourself. Of course, you can hire property managers, but there's a lot. Now, if you're getting ready to retire and you have a bunch of properties and you don't want to pay all the you don't want to buy new properties, but you don't want to pay all the taxes and you would have to 1031, you can actually, if your assets are enough and you can put your property into a DST, a Delaware Statutory Trust, and it's very unique. But that you can defer your taxes and still earn interest and make money on your money without having to manage your properties or hire a property manager. So you want to definitely check with an expert. It's called Delaware Statutory Trust. You can Google it too. You can always email us or go on our site for more information. We can always put you in touch with certain people, to help you out. But that's another way if you're going to go in and you've had a lot of properties and you want to unload it and retire. But real estate could be great. You have a lot of places around the country where we have the Section 8 housing. Many places it's called something else. You've got, but it's still the same MBQ. It's still where the government's paying for a good portion of the rent. I've done that off and on for years. I'm getting out of it now because I was getting tired of people beating the system with it, literally beating the system, living in the property, bringing their boyfriends in, driving brand new cars, spending all this money, but saying they didn't have any money. I'm just getting, it's just sometimes you get tired of it. But as an investor, can be a good rate of return, and that's guaranteed money. But there's other issues that go along with it. So it's just really good to investigate it all. Typically, we have our ups and downs, but I don't think we've seen what we're seeing with COVID with the landlords and renters. It's just unbelievable. So here's the Simple Dollar. Here's a couple stories I'm going to go through. Here was the time that your tenant decided to have a bonfire in your house. Brandon Turner of BiggerPockets.com shares his tenant trauma. This tenant was the very first tenant I ever put in place. For 8 years, he lived in this property mostly as a good tenant, but then something changed. Now, that's scary. 8 years, good tenant, and something changes. I had that happen one time on a property in Maryland in Sagamore years back. Husband and wife and their kids were great, and then they started fighting. Ultimately, they got divorced. When the property was gone back into, all the doors and door frames and all the bedrooms and other doors were busted. And I guess the husband was chasing the wife around. She's going in the rooms, locking the doors, and he's busted in the doors. It was weird because they were fine until they stopped getting along. So this tenant was very, very first tenant I've ever put in a place. For 8 years, he lived in this property mostly as a good tenant. But then something changed. He stopped paying and became irrationally angry over our insistence on rent being paid on time. After several late notices and conversations, we finally filed for eviction. He slowly moved all his stuff out of the home while the eviction date came closer. Finally, after all his good stuff was moved out, I left on a business trip to Charlotte, North Carolina. That's when I got the text. Your house is on fire. You need to call me. I didn't know if it was a joke or something serious, but I had only a few minutes to ponder this when the phone rang. It was the fire department who was putting the fire out. Apparently, a box was left on top of the stove and the burner turned on. Accident? On purpose? We'll never know. But the fire destroyed the kitchen completely, and the smoke caused damage throughout the remaining house. In total, $61,000 in damage. It's a good thing we had insurance. Really important to make sure your insurance policies are covered. And unfortunately, you know, you have a claim, then the insurance goes up. Here's another one. One tenant, many problems. Brad Chandler of Express Home Buying shares this tragic and frustrating experience renting in the nation's capital. I managed a Section 8 community, and that's what I was talking to you about before. Section 8 housing is where the government pays a good portion of the tenant's rent. I managed a Section 8 community in Southeast Washington, D.C. years back. We had a tenant who had issues and liked to start problems. We believed at the time she may have been a prostitute and drug and alcohol abuser. We tried everything to get her evicted, but because D.C. is so tenant-friendly, it was impossible. Chandler continues, when she got mad at our office, she would turn on her water, block the drain, and flood the apartments below her. She lived on the third floor. Whoa. She did this 3 times in 6 months. We were left to pay for and clean up the damage, and we still couldn't evict her. One day, she got in an argument with a gentleman outside of her apartment door in the hallway. It turned physical, and she pushed the man over the railing. Oh, my God. That's a horror story. He ended up dying. Still, we couldn't evict her. A few months after that, she was run over by a bus not far from the community and died. I think that's a horrible story. Horrible, horrible story. It's really amazing they couldn't evict her because it's tough. I mean, it's you know, when these people are doing these things, they're not telling the court the truth, right? The tenant is not telling the truth. And I know my show today sounds like I'm against tenants, and I am not at all. But I just want to bring awareness to what's going on because with COVID, it's 1,000 times worse than normal, and we're reading some stories that come up. That was really crazy sad. Here's one. Rats and turtles and snakes. Oh, my. I had a friend who wanted me to manage a single-family house that had become too much for him, says Chad Carson of CoachCarson.com. So one afternoon, we visited the brick ranch-style house with a basement. The tenant warned us before entering that they were doing a little side project with animals in the basement. Of course, we went there first, since my friend officially did not allow pets. When we reached the top of the stairs, we saw 2 bright red rat-sized eyes staring back at us from below. Oh, yucks. But that wasn't the worst of it. As we descended, the sounds of hundreds of squeaky rat wheels could be heard coming from below. Oh, my goodness. I've never had one that like this. Our red-eyed rat had friends. And to our shock, on the other side of the room stood dozens of aquariums containing many varieties of slithering snakes. This underground pet store, was an underground pet store, also harbored large tubs full of water, exotic turtles, and amphibians. The tenant soon moved out without paying the last month of rent. Oh, but left a horde of, animals. Ew. Okay, that's not a good one. That's really gross. But here it says, when you seriously dodged a bullet. This one was not, and the simple dollar, they did not check out the tenant. But it turned out they didn't rent to the tenant either. It says, when you seriously dodged a bullet. I bought my very first investment property in 2008, says Tammy Bauer of Because 79. It was a house with an upstairs suite and a basement suite. My first good applicant for the basement suite worked in construction and had wonderful references. I offered him the suite. He accepted, and I canceled my ad. The next day he told me he wouldn't be able to take the sweep since he decided to move to be closer to his children. 5 months later, I was watching the news and a man had his former girlfriend, the mother of his children, captive in a cabin in the woods for five days. She escaped and ran for safety. The man who kidnapped her was the man I had offered the basement suite to 5 months later. Oh, my. Here's one. These are all. It's that time the SWAT team got involved. Now, I've heard many cases when people are doing evictions and then you have to get the sheriff where they've actually had to get the SWAT team involved to get people out. Again, this today is not about knocking tenants. This is just about landlords beware and what's going on with COVID. And it really behooves everybody to talk to your county councilmen and talk to your local government about what is going to be planned to help the landlords right now where their properties have been held up for 5 or 6 months with no payment. How are they going to get that money back? Because they may not get the money back from the tenants. And the lenders want the money back. They're not going to wait, you know. And so the time the SWAT team got involved, vacations in Hawaii and landlording don't mix, says Todd Tresseter, a financial mentor. Oh, this one, I hadn't read this one yet, but I mean, and I'm so used to Hawaii. On one trip, I got news that the SWAT team had surrounded my investment apartment complex. Fortunately, no guns were fired, and the drug dealer went peacefully. It turned out a longstanding, excellent tenant had a grandson temporarily staying with her, and he was a serious bad apple. And if you think you can dodge landlord headaches by employing a property management company, it's not always the case. Almost unbelievably, the management company lied through their teeth, claiming it never happened. All the while, I received threat letters from the city saying I had to clean up my building or they would take it away from me. So being a landlord's not for the faint of heart, but besides everyday headaches and maintenance, it can work out in the long run. It really can. It's just right now, none of us expected what's happening with COVID. None of us did. So I want to say, if you know anybody that's renting and they're going, hey, I can afford to pay my rent, but I don't need to pay because I'm not getting, tell them about what's going on. It's not fair. If we all work together, we can get through this COVID. You know, we can get through it all. We can keep on going. You know, we can't go by antagonizing each other, by fighting with each other, by scamming. I mean, that's just, you know, the people that do these scamming, it's interesting. Not interesting, but, for example, the situation that just happened to me, there was a skip tracer run, and one of the parties has done this many, many times, which I shouldn't have been surprised. And, again, I take full accountability for not vetting the people in the beginning. I'm really a believer in we have to own our own mistakes. It's not my fault that the people did what they did, but I probably wouldn't have rented had I done the vetting in the up front. But I've talked to some attorneys that said, hey, Natalie, we've had people that had the perfect everything, and then they still did terrible things a few months later. So I'm just bringing this up because if we work together, and a lot of people that are doing the scamming, I don't think they realize the way the world works. If you give, it comes back to you. If you're constantly scamming, your life's always going to be stress and scamming, and it's a fact. It's like sometimes we wish if people took that good energy and if they took that good energy and worked on it, it wouldn't, they could put it into much better things, you know. So we'd love to hear from you. I did more stories too as well. And I just want people to be careful. And we have to work together and care about each other. All lives matter. Everybody matters. It's not fair that kids are getting scared to death because they think something's going to happen to them. It isn't fair that police officers that are good police officers are getting shot at and can't do anything. You know, it's just things have gotten out of hand. So I want to mention these different things just to go into different serious excuses and things that happen. I know we can get through this, but everybody needs to work together and stop the animosity and stop the anger, because it's getting as an overkill, and many can't handle it. A lot of people end up sick and dying not from the COVID, from the stress right now, heart attacks, stress, violence, suicides, and we don't need any of it. We really don't. We can work together. We're all important. We really are. And even the scammers, if somebody wants to change, they can change. They can say, today's a new day. I'm not going to do the drugs. I'm not going to do all the alcohol. I'm not going to play these games. I'm going to get help and start living a life that's life of peace and helping others, help others turn their lives around. So it definitely is very, very, very doable. So I called it today, COVID-19 is serious, but too many are using it as an excuse, landlords versus tenants. I don't know why somebody was saying that a lot of the tenants think the landlords have deep pockets, and that's not true. You know, a lot of people may own certain things or assets but not have the cash because they get cash poor, and if they can't pay, i.e. through rentals or through other things, they're going to lose those assets. You know, so people can't assume that because somebody has it's just, and people have worked really hard for this. So today I don't want to sound negative at all. I don't want to sound one-sided. I'm not. But I want to put it out here because typically our laws that protect us in the day-to-day running a real estate, we do brokerage businesses. We don't do rentals. But, again, we can help with them. We can refer people, you and everybody, to other people that do. I personally have done them on my own. But as a company, we don't have the agents do it. Just because of liability, you know, you've got a lot of things can happen on a rental that typically aren't going to happen in a sale. In a sale, you're pretty much finished within a couple months. Of course, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. You want the buyers to check everything out. But in a rental, people bring pets on the property. Other friends visit. You heard the one story I mentioned, and the person was fine, but the grandson wasn't fine, and, you know, there was a lot of major problems. So those are the types of things that happen with properties and property management that we don't get into as a whole. So everybody out there, I know we're all going to make it through it, and just be careful. You know, you don't have to be too nice. Still vet people, run credit checks. Right now, I can't recommend people buying a lot of investment on the rentals until we get this COVID eviction situation worked out. You've got people that will come in. One of the stories was they got them evicted. The people broke it back in the house and got in the house again and stayed, and then they had to go so many more months to get them out. It's very weird the way the laws are written in that sense. So I hope you all have a wonderful day, wonderful week, wonderful month, and to everybody out there, I wish you peace.